Hello, everybody. And this is What We're Into, the show where Roxy and I talk about what we're into. I'm DJ. There's Roxy. Hey, Roxy.
That's true about me. I am Roxy.
You are Roxy. And I was going to start off with some other stuff, but you, Roxy, you came in hot with hot. Love on the Spectrum.
Yeah, DJ. Okay.
Is this scripted or no?
No. Okay. This is a reality, non-competition reality dating show.
Gotcha.
DJ, yes. Here's what happened. So for Patreon for the World Girls, we have started a new thing where we're just watching some pilots or an episode of a new season of something that doesn't matter. We randomly on a whim picked a show that I had heard people be like, oh, this is a good show, mm-hmm. called Love on the Spectrum, to watch with people. DJ?
Yeah.
I thought this was going to be like a Bachelor or something. The premise of the show is it is people who are on the spectrum dating.
Okay.
And we follow a few people the first episode. We keep following them throughout the season. There's 7 episodes. And then we also follow new people that pop up.
Okay.
And the show sets some of them up. The show lets follow some of them on the dates that they've chosen. It's season 2. I didn't watch season 1.
Okay.
Just jumped in at the first episode of season 2.
Yeah.
When I tell you, no joke, without a doubt, and we're going to talk about some other amazing shows. There's been some great shows that have come out in January of 2024. This is my favorite show of the year by far and away.
Gotcha.
I watched the first episode for World Girls on Wednesday. I was up last night. I decided to finish it. Like I said, the 7 episodes, mm-hmm. they're 45 minutes each, 42 minutes.
Yeah.
It's like my life mission to get everybody to watch this show.
It's funny now knowing that context, because last night I've been behind. Normally I text Roxy on like Wednesday when we start figuring out stuff. And I was like, oh, I'm going to check out Mrs. Smith show dropped. I'm going to check out the first episode. And Roxy was like, I cannot watch that right now.
I cannot watch that tonight.
Which is completely fair. It's just, that's not usually how you phrase stuff, especially when it comes to TV. It's like, now I know why you're watching Love on the Spectrum.
I was like, I have to finish this. I cannot watch. Because I need to make a TikTok about it this morning. And I was like, I have to finish this tonight so I can put this out.
Yeah.
Anyway, and I'm stoked for Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and I will watch it for next week. But I got off of work at 10 p.m. last night.
Yeah.
And the only thing, I started work yesterday at 6:30 in the morning. So I knew I was going to be working like a 16-hour day.
Yeah.
And in my head all day, I was like, when you get home at 10:30, you are going to watch Love on the Spectrum for you.
Yeah.
You are going to make a Pop-Tart and you are going to watch Love on the Spectrum, and you get to have that for yourself.
Yeah.
And I stayed up until fucking 4 watching Love on the Spectrum.
Oh my God.
Chanting, crying.
Yeah.
DJ. It is like, because also, you know, single girly here.
Yeah.
Lover of love, shipper ships. You just root for everybody who wants to find their person to find their person in life.
Yeah.
If you are like me or even you, DJ, I'm sure that that's a feeling you felt before. Like, mm-hmm. you want people who want to find their person to find their person.
Yeah.
If you're a good person. And we're following these like beautiful souled human beings who have a little bit more of a difficult time dating than some people, because they say things very bluntly.
Yeah.
What they're thinking, they say, or they get extreme anxiety over certain situations. But we go through like speed dating. And what I love about the show is that the production of the show clearly wants these people to find their person.
Yeah.
Clearly is not making a show for drama.
Mm-hmm.
We're also watching families with the main cast with their families. Yeah. So the people on the spectrum with their families, and you're watching how different people parent, like how, not that they're kids because it's all adults, but some of them are like 18, some of them are 35. A lot of them, some of them don't live home, some of them do live home. So we're seeing them at their home life. So sometimes they're with their families. And it is so effing cool to watch like different ways of navigating relationships and life and parenting. And I think it's like the best reality show ever. And it makes you more understanding. I don't know if you guys at home have any friends who are on the spectrum.
And when you're saying the spectrum, like mental health spectrum.
The autism spectrum. Yeah. The autism spectrum. Autism spectrum disorder, I think, gotcha. Is what it's called. And it used to be, I learned this this week from a friend of mine who is on the spectrum, it used to be you would call a high functioning or low functioning.
Yeah.
And that the spectrum was thought of as a straight line, mm-hmm. which is not how the spectrum's thought of as it anymore.
Yeah.
And it's not really those high functioning or low functioning. You're just perceiving the world and reacting to the world in different ways from each other if you are autistic. And so we're seeing like the ways that the world is perceived or the way things are perceived. And a lot of times it's very literal. Like what you said is what you mean. Yeah. So, you know, like the, and people are way less sensitive. Mm-hmm. So like, if I said to you, like, do you want to go on another date with me? And you said, maybe. And I'm like, oh, okay. Let me know when you know. And like, then that maybe means maybe I do. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe. Got to think about
and
it.
So,
and like,
Sorry if you already went over this. So is everybody dating, is some people on the spectrum dating people not on the spectrum, or is everybody dating on the spectrum together?
Yeah. So one of the guys on the spectrum is dating somebody with Down syndrome. We see three different dates of theirs. And he also has two roommates who have Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And so interesting to see him navigate somebody with a different disorder than him and her navigate him. Some of the people are dating other people on the spectrum, sometimes different places on the spectrum than they are. And some of the people are dating people who are not on the spectrum. Mm-hmm. And some of them are more verbal. Some of them are less verbal. And it is like watching, it really is a show like showing the spectrum.
Gotcha.
But the main premise, and they talk about this because there's a lot of direct cameras, is like these people really want to find their person.
Mm-hmm.
Like they really, really want that person they connect with. Like there's this relationship that I guess continued on from probably season one of this one girl who she found the love of her life through the show. And now we're watching them date, and they love lions. A lot of people on the spectrum get really fixated on certain animals.
Yeah.
And this couple loves lions, DJ. Gotcha. They love lions. And so it's her dream to go be with the lions. So he gets her tickets and her family to go to a safari in Africa.
Oh, wow.
And so that they can be with the lions. And it is just like every day. She's like, you're a prince. I'm a princess. We're going to Africa. Thank you so much for doing this. You have made every dream of mine come true. And it's like that we see them with the lions and I'm just fucking crying, DJ, because I'm like, this is so cool that somehow through the show, she found her person.
Yeah.
And we get to watch the, it's just, it is the most unbelievable show about love. It strips it down to the basics of like what you need, what you're looking for. And then there's a lot of failed relationships and you see like where it went wrong. And it's hard. It's hard to navigate. I just think that the producers did an amazing job with this. They clearly love their cast. Like they're rooting for their cast. And that is the difference between this and most reality TV where you feel like they're kind of out to get them.
Yeah.
This is like, they are the one guy who's behind the camera, who's interviewing all of them and asking questions. Like okay, DJ, I'll give you one other example and then I'll stop. But there's a speed dating thing and there's this one guy that they clearly love and he's awesome. Yeah. He is super into nerdy stuff, like hyper into nerdy stuff.
Yeah.
And he's on the speed dating thing and you have everybody's names and you mark yes or no. And then afterwards, if you both mark yes, you get each other's phone numbers. If one of you mark no, you don't connect. Okay.
Yeah.
And he's sitting there and he's sitting across from somebody. And as they're talking in front of them, he's marking no, no, no. Cause he doesn't know that that's not a nice thing to do to somebody.
Yeah.
So after they see it, the producers are like, hey, are you marking no in front of people? And he's like, yeah. And they're like, oh, that might hurt their feelings. And he's like, I shouldn't. Oh, okay. And like changes the way that he's going about it because they're not trying to make him look bad.
Yeah.
They're trying to make him find love.
Yeah.
So it's like most reality shows would lean into that and be like, oh, and then go interview the girl. Like, did you feel bad when he did this thing?
Yeah.
But this reality show is like, oh, maybe that makes her feel bad. And he's like, oh, okay, I won't do that anymore then because I wouldn't want to make somebody feel bad. That's not why I was doing it.
Yeah.
So thank you for telling me.
And that's cool.
That's so much cooler. Yeah. If this sounds interesting at all to anybody, you please check this out. Love this show.
Where do they watch it?
Netflix.
Netflix. Netflix, Netflix. Check it out. Are you going to go back and watch season one?
Yes.
I was going to say.
Obviously. Yes.
All right, let's go to one that we both... You caught up on True Detective, correct?
Yes.
Night Country. Well, let's go to True Detective Night Country. I think we're on episode 3, 4?
Yes. No, 3.
3? It's hard to say with streaming nowadays. But yeah, so the mystery of the Salal station is deepening. How are you feeling about the season so far, Roxy?
I'm still trying to figure out if we're on 3 or 4. Like, what was the most recent...
When, considering I don't know how many weeks ago we filmed with Hector, it was 1 the week. Yeah, I think it might be 3. I'm so used to shows dropping. It's 2 things. I'm so used to shows dropping multiple episodes at once. And then I'm also, when you see a show that like really like doesn't waste time, you know what I mean? It's like, we're still going. It's like, wow, we've covered enough ground. We've covered about 4 episodes worth of stuff in about 3 episodes.
Yeah, I think we did 3 also.
Yeah, I think we are at 3.
I'm trying to even remember what happened. I watched this Sunday night.
Yeah, it is a little difficult for this show because we're basically a week out. Okay, well, Hank
leads the search for Clark. Pryor asks Danvers about the murder-suicide case that drove a wedge between her and Navarro. Then Navarro and Danvers seek out a local hairdresser for insight on Annie, which leads to a tip.
Yeah, so they're looking for the guy from last episode, the guy that was shaking, the guy that was in a relationship with the murdered woman. Mm-hmm. That takes us to a hairdresser. That also takes us to a guy that used to work at the Salal station, who's out. That was the guy that was in that shack, and he's like, I need you to get off my property, a shotgun and everything.
That was interesting.
Yeah.
That was an interesting scene. I always think it's interesting when characters more than they're letting on, right? And then when we walk out and we see everybody there and it's like, what is happening here?
Yeah. I will say, here's the one thing about, I really like the show. I think Jodie Foster's fucking great. She's just doing really, and she's even playing a character that isn't totally likable. But she's so good. And the whole cast is good. Ever since I found out that this wasn't supposed to be a True Detective show, it wasn't supposed to be True Detective, and so they added in the connections to season 1, and it's like, I kind of wish it was his own thing.
Yeah, I hear you on that, because then I think I could have more fun with some of it, but we'll see where it goes. Like, it depends on what they lean into, and there are certain things that I'm like, okay, if you lean into this angle, then it really is a True Detective show, and it is a detective show, so.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm still curious about the, like, I was with somebody at Real Rejects yesterday, and he was like, didn't you say you liked True Detective this season? I said, yeah, I did. And he was like, I'm really not liking it. I was like, oh, interesting. Why? And everybody is comparing it to season 1, which is a huge mistake.
Yeah.
On their part, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that there shouldn't be comparisons, because season 1's obviously better. But I'm liking it because of 2 main reasons. I like the mystery. I'm curious about the ice block. And I like the characters.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the mystery and I like the characters. So I'm liking the show.
Yeah. And that should be the only requirement for a mystery show. Like, the mystery show is a great offer. It just feels too tonally dissimilar to previous True Detective. And while you're right, it's not a good comparison. By the show's forcing that, by having the direct connections of the first season. And it's like, it just makes me go like, yeah, I wish this had been its own thing, because I am really liking it. And I don't want to compare it to other seasons of True Detective. I want it to be its own thing, because on its own merit, I think it's really good. Like, I'm really into it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think so too. I am curious, like the hospital scene where she, mm-hmm. Like, it does suit, it seeps into that supernatural a little bit there and stuff with the mom, and I'm like, what does that mean?
Yeah, it's doing a little bit of that thing that kind of bothers me with Yellow Jackets, where it's like, is it supernatural? We're being ambiguous. It's like, are you? Because it doesn't feel ambiguous, it feels supernatural.
Yeah, like Yellow Jackets very obviously is supernatural.
Yeah, especially by the end of season 2, it's like, we're not pretending anymore, right? We've it's supernatural, right?
The show thinks it is pretending still, I think, and so does this show. I think that they're like towing the line, they think, but I don't feel they are towing the line anymore.
I think there was a way to do that scene, and it, this isn't helpful, and I'm sorry I do this stuff. I shouldn't like backseat, whatever. I think what would have made that hospital scene more effective for me is if, pull a trick from the second Conjuring movie, where Navarro's looking out the door, right? The guy sits up out of focus behind her, says those things out of focus behind her. We're focused on her behind him. He sat up and he's saying the thing, like he starts saying stuff. It's like typical exorcist shit, like your mom is in hell, whatever. And then when she turns around, he's back on the bed. That's ambiguous. That's like, wait, was that in her head? But she looks, we see the guy, like we zoom in on the guy as he's saying this stuff. It's like, that doesn't, the language you're filming this in does not read as ambiguous. It reads like this is fucking happening.
Well, that's, we're supposed to think that's her POV and did it happen and nobody was around. So, you know, but yes, I'm with you. I think that would have been a cool way to shoot it so that I'm like, oh, is she imagining this?
Yeah.
Is this real? What is happening here? It's hard because I feel like I'm set up in a way that the world wants me to nitpick this show right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I am nitpicking this show right now, but I actually just like the show.
Same.
So I don't need to nitpick it. And if this wasn't part of our lives doing what we're doing here, I think I'd just be like, oh, I like the show. But the world is nitpicking this. And then I'm nitpicking this. And then I'm like, but should it be? And da-da-da. And like, when really, while I'm watching, I know I'm liking the show because on Sunday night, I watched the show.
Yeah.
Came out Sunday. I watched it on Sunday because I was like, oh, yay, True Detective's on.
Yeah. I think the performances are great across the board. I think the writing is solid. And like you, Roxy, I think... however it plays out, I think the offer of the mystery is really good. Like, it's like these people are just frozen in the ice. Like, yeah, that's a fucking mystery, man. Like, I don't know if I said this last week. I feel like with the ice boring, I feel like they pulled up some sort of frozen virus. Maybe they got infected and, you know, it made them lose it a little bit. And so they went out into the cold and then they died out there. Like, it made them, like, maybe they felt really hot. So they ran out in the cold and that's why they died. That's, again, if this were a standalone show, that's a perfectly good answer to that mystery. In a True Detective show, that feels a little heightened. That feels like a little B movie kind of whatever. But
and there's still the part about them not wearing shoes, which makes us feel like they're running from something, not just hot.
Yeah, and I think somebody else was talking about the same theory that I'm saying, and it's maybe the virus started affecting their cognitive behavior. But we'll see. But again, like you, Roxy, kind of bummed that we nitpicked the show the way it does because I do. And I'm just enjoying it. I just like it. And I think the cast is good and I like it. And Jodie Foster is great. And I'm glad to have her on my TV.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Straight up. Yep.
Okay. Tell me about Masters of the Air.
DJ, I'm kind of surprised you're not watching this.
It's been a busy week.
I know. That's why I'm not
surprised. Cut me some slack. It's been a busy week.
But this is on your radar, right?
Yeah, I'm aware of it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. It's an excellent version of a World War II show.
Cool.
That's what it is. Yeah. They're doing an unbelievable Air Force World War II focused on Americans, but also dealing with the Brits and the tension between the two of them. Really focused on how the Brits are bombing at night and the Americans are going tactically in the daytime and the drastic differences in losses between the Americans because they're attempting to do precision bombing. So it's really interesting to me. I'm a big World War II buff because of several reasons. Grew up talking to my grandfather about it, who was in the 8th Air Force. And also because of Jewish stuff. So obviously this is it's a war close to my heart. So I tend to like World War II content. I say that because some other people, if you're not a fan of watching war content, World War II content, this isn't for you, obviously. This is a really great version, and I'm interested in the specifics about precision bombing because that was a choice that the Americans made that made it so that we lost a lot of people but killed less civilians on accident. And like going over the morals of it and what the Brits were doing, saving their people, just the conversations that are happening. That's not like the whole premise of the show, but there's little things like that where I'm like, this is an intriguing thing to explore. Also the exploration of like who's excited to do what with these kids. Like this is a war, unlike the Vietnam War, this is a war that a lot of people were excited to be a part of.
Yeah.
Because of the cause. And I think that they do an interesting job of showing that while also showing the anxiety of being a part of it and being a part of a war for your first time and how you really can't prep for it.
Yeah.
I think that it's really, really, I'm interested. Another reason why I'm focusing on saying it like that, DJ, is because this is not a fast-paced show.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not interested in the topic, I don't think you're going to like the show.
Yeah.
It's obviously extremely male-dominated. Mm-hmm. There's barely any women in the show at all. In the first episode, there is, and sometimes when we're partying and whatever, but it's all male characters. It's a lot of white male characters.
Yeah.
And so it's a World War II show, which we have seen before.
Yeah.
But the way they're shooting it, it's excellently shot. The cinematography is out of this world. It does, parts of it kind of remind me of Top Gun Maverick, mm-hmm. because like when we're actually in the air.
Yeah.
And the scenes in the air are just, it's like, how did you guys do this? This is truly unbelievable.
That's really cool.
Extremely high budget. I think you would love it, DJ. I think if it sounds interesting to you guys, again, then you'll love it. If it doesn't sound interesting, probably not, because it's not like a action-packed, here we go.
Yeah, I probably would really dig it. I will probably check it out after I'm done, because they dropped all the episodes at once, which surprised me, after I check out Mr. and Mrs. Smith.
Oh, this is all out?
Yeah, that surprised me too, Roxy. When I went to go check it out, I was like, oh, there's like six episodes here. I was like, oh, well, I'm just watching one. So I'll touch back on this once I've watched more.
I'll watch it all, DJ, too. I'll definitely do this with him.
The first episode's really good. Like, I you know, I like Donald Glover's work, but I wasn't like, oh, Mr. and Mrs. Smith. I was like, I don't care about that. A brand or whatever. Like, watching the first episode is real good. Donald Glover and Maya Erskine, who plays Jane, he's John, she's Jane, have great chemistry, at least, again, just from the first episode. And the first episode's kind of, it's different than the movies in that, like, the or at least the Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie movie, because they're both spies and they find out they're working for different spy organizations. That's not the show. The show is both these people are recruited by the same spy organization to pretend to be a couple. So the first episode's basically structured around what would normally be like a first date of them meeting, but they're doing like a little spy thing that at first feels almost like a game. And then,
do they know that they've been recruited? Yeah. The other one's been recruited?
Yes. They don't know any of their backstory, stuff like that, but they both know they've been recruited by the same organization to pretend to be a couple. They're both on the same page in that way, but they don't know anything about each other. And so through this, I think the first episode's called First Date. They're getting to know each other while they're trailing somebody. And it feels really playful until obviously it escalates. Things escalate. It's paced really well. The acting's real good. It's not, as I talk about it, it's not as dark as The Americans. But it kind of reminds me of The Americans. It's like, what if we talked about what it's like to be a couple through spy shit? I'm like, that's a good instinct. I like that.
Did you watch Pen 15?
No. No, but this is the girl from that, right?
Yeah, this is your introduction to Maya?
She voiced the main character in Blue Eye Samurai, which I watched. But this is my first time like watching her, like, I've seen her in other stuff, but this is the first time like, oh, I'm really watching her do her thing.
I think she is so good. I think that, and I love Donald Glover, obviously, so I'm really excited about this one.
Yeah, really, and it's sexy, not in the like, hey, but it's sexy in that they just like, wow, these two are like really good together. Like, I'm into the vibe, the sparks that are flying. I'm into this. It's good. I think you'll like it.
Is it rated like as a PG-13 sexy?
So far. I think it might be MA. Like, I think, but there's nothing too crazy. Well, there's something pretty violent in the first episode. But yeah, check it out. There's no sexy time between the two yet. It's more just like that. There's something. I'm feeling it.
The vibe.
Yeah, I feel the vibe. Good job, everybody. Because you need to sell me, especially if this is their first time meeting. You need to. I'm to understand that they're, you know, going to grow closer as the show goes on. I need to be able to believe that, and I do. So good first episode. I think we got time. Real quick, should we save this for next week? Death and Other Details, or do you want to talk about it now?
No, we can save it. But people who want to know more about it next week and not get spoiled, then maybe watch it. It's the Mandy Patinkin show with Violet Bean, who I used to be on the DC shows, and I interviewed her for Flash and Friends maybe back in the day, and she's awesome, so I'm stoked for her.
And the whole show's out, and you so you've watched the whole
no
Mm-mm. okay
Mm-mm. It's being released, I think it released like 3 episodes at once and then one at a time kind of thing.
And do you know where we're at within the season?
I don't. I'm definitely a few episodes in. So like I maybe 5-6 episodes in. Let me look.
All right. So we'll just because I want to give you time to, I don't want to rush you talking about it.
Yeah. I will say this. I think it is good, not great. Mm. It wouldn't be like, I think it's as good as something like if you guys loved After Party.
Okay.
The Tiffany Haddish show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So they released 2 episodes on January 16th, one on January 23rd, one on January 30th. So I'm caught up with that. The next one's on February 6th, which will be episode 5.
Okay.
And then I don't know how long it goes.
Okay. So we're still pretty early on. Because when I looked up for assets, they're like, Death and Other Details finale. I'm like, already? All right. Like, but I guess not.
It feels like we are nearing the end.
Okay.
Because where we are in the mystery, she's really good.
Doesn't surprise me.
How many episodes? Oh, they're going to be 10. Okay, okay. So we're nearing half.
Okay. All right. So we have time.
Wow, I don't know what they're going to do for the whole other half. Okay.
So we'll check back on that next week. Maybe if Roxy has a chance. I'm definitely going to watch more Mr. and Mrs. Smith. And I might try and check out Masters of the Air. We will see. But as we should also mention, for the patrons, I don't know why you listen to this show and not the main one. But you also check out our movie, gunplaymovie.com. There's a special reward. There's a special sticker just for patrons. We're going to, if the movie funds, we're going to do a special behind the scenes, once a month behind the scenes podcast. So you know how the production's going. So if you want to see how the sausage is made, that's an opportunity for you to do that. Go to gunplaymovie.com. Please, we cannot make this movie without you. And as I said on the previous show, you will not be charged till the campaign funds. So if you're kind of worried, like, oh, I don't know if they have the money right now, you can still back it without worrying about being charged right now. So go to gunplaymovie.com and back it. Roxy, what should the kids be looking out for from you?
Exactly that, DJ, gunplaymovie.com. And everything that I'm doing is at Roxy Strayer.
Check it out. Thank you for being a patron. Thank you for supporting the show. We couldn't do the show without you. And we will see you. Oh, wait, real quick. Oh, my God, I almost forgot. Everybody. Everybody in the chat, ask what you're into. Mike Joyce, TV, Masters of Air, Has Been Hotel, True Detective Sports, Love on the Spectrum, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, SNL movies, Between the Temples. SNL movies, Between the Temples. I don't know.
SNL put out movies. Oh. Between the Temples is the SNL movie?
I guess so. Anyway, Oppenheimer, The Godfather, KOTFM. King of the... Cool. I don't know what that is. Killers of the Flower Moon. Got there. TV.
It's so hard when you think one word. You were like king, and then I was like king.
Yeah, then you get stuck. Like I was just trying to think K word. Killers of the Flower Moon. Leonard Kim, True Detective, Expats, Death and Other Details, Percy Jackson, Feud, Capote v. The Swans. It's been too late, guys. I think the last season of Feud came out like what? 6-7 years ago. I'm not going to tune into the next season of The Feud. It's been too long.
I absolutely will. They're not related, DJ.
I know, but it's too. You gotta keep my attention, everybody. The Traitors, Masters of Air, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, and Sports. Thank you guys for joining us. We'll see you next time. Bye bye.